Welcome to the Clarity Quest podcast. I'm your host, Zane Henry. With me today is John Kaminsky, journalist. I wanted to take this opportunity to defend an alternative currency. And the idea that I wanted to express was that currency is consciousness. And what appears to have been the result of the case against von Nothaus, which was a conviction, is that we will not have any consciousness whatsoever regarding alternative currencies. You will accept that there is only one currency or one consciousness in the world. Well, if you're an American, you have only one choice for a medium of exchange, and that is the Federal Reserve System. And
that's probably why they come down so harshly on anybody who challenges their income tax rules or any other financial aspect of their rigged game. And they take ordinary principled people like Pete Hendrickson or the Browns or Schiff or Dick Jim Cannon, who just died in prison, and they give them the maximum sentence, even though, as was the case in the Jim Cannon trial in Texas, he was a fellow who owned a plastic fabricating plant and who in 2000 refused to take withholding out of his employees' checks. And he it was a fixed grand jury and a fixed trial, and he wasn't allowed to introduce the law that said what he was doing was okay, and he got 35 years in prison. They made him do 7. He got out on the promise of not resuming his activities, which he did immediately. They put him back in jail, and he died of a heart attack. People like that are crucified for transgressing the phony financial laws that have been set up to guarantee the monopoly that you just pointed out that got the coin dealer recently embroiled in the same kind of thing. How many years did he get?
I don't know if they've gotten to sentencing yet, but you know, one thing about the von Nothaus case, I've always thought that that guy was, well, I always had a sneaking suspicion that this guy was actually running interference for the whole thing. I know he's got a reputation for making good coins. He's made coins all over the world. He is kind of, you know, he has a good reputation that way, but I still had something. I just had some kind of halt against this von Nothaus guy. I always thought, and it's just such an important issue, John.
I know, and it's like really, this is another case of a principled person making an improvement to society, especially given the condition of our money. And I wish I had one. I never did get one, but they looked awful nice. And I mean, it was the same principle that derailed Ron Paul's presidential bid. You know, 2 years before the last election, Ron Paul could have won the presidency by acclamation, by a voice vote, because he had such a following. And then the media took over and spun everything away from him because he was just too principled for them to stomach. And I don't know what kind of threat they wound up giving him, but he seemed to really tone it down late in the campaign, as if he was told if he won, he probably wouldn't survive much longer. And I think he backed off in some way, and he's still the most eloquent person in the Congress, and probably amongst all the other shills who are there, and I'm not calling him a shill, but I'm calling everybody else a shill, he's allowed to voice his theories, but he's never going to get recognition as long as the criminals who are in charge now remain in charge.
Well, there is a different issue with the Not, or von Nothaus case. He actually did things that are just not advisable. He put on his coins United States of America, called them dollars. He gave them a numerical value, and that sort of thing is just not the right thing to do for the alternative currency community that's out here. Because what has happened is now they have a conviction, and now they are going to shut the whole thing down. And I'm just scratching my head saying, well, no, we got screwed. This von Nothaus guy was pushing the envelope dangerously. He got himself into trouble, but he got us all into trouble now, John, because you know the machinery, the spin now has reached a fever pitch on this. And this has to be taken care of and defended immediately. And that's what I wanted to talk about was the court had stricken out some claims that were made by the prosecutor because they had no basis in law whatsoever. So it was not provided to the jury in this case. But then, after the jury had decided, she came out with a victory and she started saying the things that were not allowed to be told to the jury because they had no basis in law. And so this has now become, in the court of public opinion, part of the public record. And so she needs to be disbarred as well. And that's according to this lawyer here that I'm reading on the internet. We don't know where she got these false statements, but
I can guess.
they are now being put out as if it has a basis in law. And so the prosecutor needs to be accused of taking liberties with the truth, and the judge in this case has no moral basis to be sitting on the sidelines while this is all taking part in the court of public opinion. Because what's more important, John, the courts, the legal courts, or the court of public opinion? Here's where Bastiat would probably be having nightmares, trying to wrestle out the difference between what is moral and what has respect for the law, because we are supposed to have respect for the law, and the judge has got to have respect for his own law. The judge himself won't even have respect for his own law and take this prosecutor to task in the media. He won't defend anything that's has basis in law. So, we can't have respect for anyone in this entire case. Nobody has. There's just no law.
That's right. There is no law. When you told me about the judge being appointed, that judge being appointed to the bench, and her willingness to change whole portions of the text of the trial, it made me think that her willingness to do that was probably a requirement for her appointment to get into this corrupt fraternity that will suspend our civil liberties at the drop of a hat at the behest of powerful business interests. That's the way our court system works. That's really the way it's always worked. But it's more egregious than ever now, because especially with the creation of these tribunals that that automatically convict these hapless people that they've scooped off the streets of Pakistan. And it's like the whole system now is, oh, how would I say this? It's not, the whole system doesn't work for justice. The justice system in America, boy, what shall I say about it? It works for who it always has worked for, the people with the money to bribe enough people to find a person who will take the office and do the bidding of the people who put them there. That's the American system. And so when you, especially when you bring up matters of principle, I don't know how many trials we've heard about recently where people have tried to bring up the Constitution in a court of law, and the judge responds, the Constitution has no business being talked about here because we're not running on that system. Until the American people realize that they are told that their lives are being ruled by the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and understand that the court system in America is a completely different system based on either Talmudic law or maritime law, no American, any American who doesn't realize that does not know how to deal with the court system in America. And that's the great secret that they keep from us and take a third of our winnings and have, they've done the same thing as the bankers have done, and that is to put their own opulence above the job that they pretend to be doing. And because they have control of the money and the courts, they can take all that money and do exactly what they want, and that's exactly what they do.
Well, they take their money now is the consciousness of the thing, and the law is the absolute worst part of our civilization. And it's, you know, I mean, you make a good point that there is a difference between what it is and what, you know, what the legal system is and what it should be. There's a real difference in people's minds. But what we have to go beyond even differences now, and it's not subtle anymore, John. We have to point out that the legal system is the problem, and we can give them chapter and verse about the Patriot Act, about how people that want to protest the government and use their First Amendment right, they're put in cages off on the other side of town. These judges are the problem, because we wouldn't be in this mess if these judges weren't saying what they're saying. They're, you know, and now that this has been perverted out here in the press, where, I mean, the judge in this case, I don't think has any right to stand on the sidelines and just let this prosecutor spout her mouth off about what this means, because she's defining the terms of what just happened in the courtroom.
Back in 1990, I was running a newspaper in New Hampshire called Leisure Weekly, and I turned an entertainment publication into an anti-war publication because the Gulf War was going on at the time. And one of the things Poppy Bush, he was the president then, did was he named Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court. And at the time, most of the Supreme, at least in my consciousness then, most of the Supreme Court justices had actual well-known records of legal scholarship, and which was scrutinized in the press, so that we got actual judges on the Supreme Court. Now, they would have been paid off in their own way and be ideologically aligned with the person who appointed them, of course. But they were legitimate jurists, and Clarence Thomas's nomination was a radical step down. He's been on the court now for 20 years and has distinguished himself as a silent oaf who doesn't really know or care about much of anything. And since that time, the people who have been appointed to the Supreme Court have all been put in their places to tear America down. And the worst of all was the last one was a lesbian advocate of transsexualism right out of Harvard, spirited through there the same way Obama came through there, who has never been a judge in her life and is appointed to the Supreme Court and is approved by the Congress as a legitimate judge, and apparently the reason that she got the job was that she helped Obama out of either the citizenship caper or some other financial mess that he was involved in, and that was her payoff. So we've got, I mean, it's no news that we've had completely unqualified people in the White House, but we have completely unqualified people on the Supreme Court, all put there to serve this agenda whose objective is the destruction of America and the complete takeover by the Jews and the fire sale of America to the rest of the world. What's left of it at this point, it's who can say how much is going to be left of it after the events of 2011. I just heard Benjamin, not to digress, but I just heard Benjamin Fulford come on and say he was in Tokyo and the radiation was normal, but then I see that the cesium levels are elevated all over America and Europe, and we're going to start to get sick, and they're going to, I don't know, what are they going to say, it's something else, and if you take them to court, they're going to stuff you. You can't get into the court system. It's like writing a letter to your congressperson. It's totally useless. These guys are all hardened criminals at this point with a system that is totally devoted to first making themselves rich and then not affecting the profit schemes of the people who are running them and permit them to serve as long as they do the bidding of their masters. So the court system, what are you going to take into the court system? Whatever you take into the court system, no matter how eloquent your lawyer, no matter how principled he may be, I'm not sure that's possible, but no matter how principled he may be, you're going to run into this arbitrary stone wall that is used so often in the financial sphere, where when the system explodes in their faces and people escape to Israel with trillions of dollars, they just throw up a new set of rules like Clinton did back in the 90s and say, oh, we had a $100 trillion deficit last week, but because we changed our accounting laws, now we have a $300 billion surplus, which is what happened in the 90s. And it's like all they did was change the bookkeeping system. They didn't certainly make all that money. So the money has been artificial ever since back then, and that's 15 years ago. And they've been running one scam after another, which resulted in the recent multi-bailouts of hundreds of trillions of dollars. So, I mean, I can't really contemplate any amount of money over $200, but to put all those zeros on things, and what they did when they did that was they wiped out the future of America, and now that it's bankrupt and totally owned by China, they're going to mess the place up as much as they can, give it to the Chinese, and leave us to fend for ourselves. That's what our government's going to do for us.
Well, they recently had a threatened shutdown at the federal government. There was a poll that was done during that period, and some 62% of the people, John, thought that this was a positive development, that the government...
Which thing?
That the government would no longer be able to function.
When I was told that, I immediately thought of the doctor's strike. Whenever there's a doctor's strike, the death rate goes down. Get it?
Well, that one's a little bit more difficult for me to integrate because, you know, if they're striking, they're not doing surgery, and you know, surgeries are risky and so forth. We know that. Whenever you cut on someone, there's a risk of them dying.
They're not prescribing poisons.
Yeah, that one's a little trickier for me than the other one. But 62% of the people want the government to go broke and just go away.
We were going to get into that Bastiat thing, and we've gotten into it a little bit, but I mean, there's so many nuggets in his famous 19th century work, which is called The Law. And the thing we were talking about was his point that in order to follow, especially in America now, holy cow, in order to follow the laws now, we have to violate our moral standards. And that is a sure sign of the imminent destruction of a country. To have that kind of hypocrisy running things, and I guess really that kind of hypocrisy has run most governments throughout history, because there is this living in the real world where governments must, by definition, serve at the pleasure of business. That is to say, governments must make a good business climate so people can be prosperous. Otherwise, you starve and die. So you have to be competitive, but you can't be, geez, I don't know, and I don't know how to draw this line. I don't think anybody does. But the drive for survival, when you have the upper hand, as America got when the Berlin Wall fell in '89, America could have done anything with the world, and a lot of us saw this as a great opportunity to create a world system that was based on actual mutual cooperation. Does such a thing exist? Jesus, I hope so. It could have been done, but instead we plowed all this money into the military. And I remember back in '98, back in the last century, when I was doing the wire at a newspaper in Florida, and this story came across from the Associated Press that American foreign policy and America's role in the world was adrift because we didn't have an enemy to focus on. And I thought, wow, what a story that is. That's like an admission that America survives on war. And 3 years later, of course, we got the PNAC report and 9/11. And I just watched the thing on television, an old Dan Rather clip of a CIA agent who came on right after 9/11 and said it couldn't have been Bin Laden. He couldn't have pulled off anything that complex, which was a 2001 Dan Rather interview on CBS. And of course, he was ignored, probably fired, if not murdered. And America took the easy course, which the people behind the scenes had invented to happen all along as their excuse for really conducting World War III by stealth, one country at a time in the Muslim world.
Yeah, good point, John.
But Bastiat, Frederick Bastiat, who wrote this in 1850, is the last year of his life. He was dying as he wrote it, and he was adamantly opposed to the socialists who had ravaged France for the last 50 years with one revolution after another, all funded by the Rothschilds. It's part of the Jewish destabilization template. There's never been a finer example in history, except for perhaps America, which has been a 100-year project for them that is finally coming to fruition.
America's a real work of art, though, I think, compared
Well,
to the French. I think they learned all their lessons in France and Russia.
I think America is a lot solider than people think, but people are in America are a lot stupider than everybody thinks. To have put up with a guy standing up in front of the country of the quality of George Bush, the human qualities of George Bush, I mean, there's only one excuse for that, and that is everybody is bewitched by television and they can't tell one person from another.
Well, maybe they just assumed that somebody somehow was going to just put this guy in his place. I mean, that does happen, but only in a nation of men. And we're not men anymore. We've been totally emasculated. We've been circumcised, and the only people that really have any say so are the women. And you know, I mean, they're the ones that are given permission by the media, the culture. That they're the ones to spout off about politics and everything. And saying stuff is really, you know, I'm sure they it really hurt their feelings. Not, you know,
that's part of the destabilization template to give women the upper hand over men. It's the next chapter of women's liberation where you get this women's dominance, and because women are more manipulable when they're in power, they're really easier to control.
And they don't want to see the negative stuff either, John. They tend to not want to look at the real dark side of things, and that's right. That's really worked out for these guys,
right.
Because they deliberately embrace stuff that is so over the top dark.
that would be under the top.
Right, but it's so dark and so disgusting that it keeps
under the bottom, actually.
Yeah, and that's all. It's probably very much of it is true, but it's part of it is theater because they know that they're going to put the chicks in the positions of power, and they know from study group after study group after scientific psychological trial that people are just going to try and muddle through and not deal with human sacrifice and child rape and that kind of thing. They're just going to move on. They're not going
to... They're less likely to see, at least speaking for Americans, or speaking for the country we used to know as America. Oh, God, what did I want to say? America is on the wrong side of almost every issue. Everything is hypocrisy. When they say they're going into a country to help that country, that's not what they're doing. They're going into places like the Congo and tearing it up and letting people kill each other because they want the minerals that are there. That's really all American foreign policy is. It's this fake hand up to people where they trap them in these onerous financial contracts and steal their minerals. And it's, you know, it's the same thing we did to the Indians. We didn't keep a single treaty with the Indians, and I'm not sure that we've kept a single treaty with anyone else in the world unless they were in on the same crimes that we were. So we have a situation now where this media and the American population in general are trying to justify their behavior as some sort of, what do they call it, anti-terror push, but the terror has been totally invented. So the armaments can continue their record sales pace. And what we have is a constant state of war and terror and fear, which eventually has crept back on us, because what we do to others eventually creeps back to us. That's called karma. But they even have control of that, where they have, you know, you hear these stories about Israel having planted nuclear bombs in all the American cities already, long ago, in fact. And all of these false realities that have been created for the American people to keep them from understanding that they're total slaves and they're being strangled at the moment, and everybody knows something is wrong. Jeez, I've said this so many times. And people still don't get it and won't listen to it, and I'm saying it again, that until you, in dealing with any problem, anything, until you address the Jewish aspect of that problem, you're not going to figure out what it really is. And 9 times out of 10, if not more, the problem will be that some moneylender, some rich fat cat, some Bilderberger, some American CEO is letting people die, and in many cases deliberately causing people to die simply because it will make his bonus bigger. That's what's running the world. That's what all these acts of sabotage against our own country by our own leaders are doing. And I think pretty much everybody realizes this on some level now, that our government is not to be trusted. Our government is to be feared, because they're out to reduce the population, and they have hundreds of programs in effect to accomplish just that.
Hundreds, you think, John?
Absolutely.
It sure seems like it. If it's not, it's they've got full spectrum dominance on everything.
It's much worse. It's much worse than even we know, because all of the information we have ingested in our lifetimes has been screened by them and provided to us for a purpose that we usually don't understand. And if you look at that's why I stress not staying up with the daily news, but trying to put things into context. And I've said this millions of times before, too, is that 9/11, when you realize it's a hoax and a done deal, and most of what you know about it is false, and most of what you suspect about it is true, was a deliberate act by our own government, controlled by a foreign power, to sacrifice 3,000 people in the middle of a big city, and then false flag operation is the signature of the Jew. Down through history, Egypt was the first false flag operation, and it's recorded in the Old Testament. That's what they did. And we have to pay the price for that, because we're just slaves, and they can do to us whatever they want, because we have a government that absolutely does not work, but is bought and paid for by the plantation owners who now own the world. And they just all happen to be Jewish, but as you know, it's not all Jews.
Huh. Well, there seems to be something wrong with the way these people are. I mean,
well, I don't know. We're savages. We're animals. Animals, you know, I watch the lizards in my yard here and the squirrels, and they beat the shit out of each other. So we were supposed to be above that, and the ways that we got above that were controlled by people, especially the churches and the universities. They were controlled by people who didn't really believe that, but saw that people wanted that, so they sort of provided it in a way, except that the history that we know, just like the television shows that we watch today, was planted in our heads by people with power for a reason, and that reason was to control us. It's still going on. It will always go on. But I think now, you know, down through history, there have always been people, Sir Walter Raleigh, and just all sorts of people who have, you know, champion justice, of Frederick Bastiat, champion justice and wanted to do the right thing in all situations. And they were prevented by the status quo from doing that, because the status quo always profits from the corruption, or a lot of it. A large percentage of the population profits from the corruption and wants to assist in concealing those details. Well, that faction, primarily Jews, but also other people without consciences, are willing to make that trade. They're willing to deal with the devil. They get the big payoff. I just read a story about a CEO whose salary for the year was 389 times larger than the median American income. And Henry Paulson, who was our Treasury Secretary in 2006, I happen to know, made like $600 million, I think it was, some astronomical figure because all of these hedge funds and companies had collapsed and all these other deals had taken place. So, I mean, it is beyond comprehension at this point for the average American who's got a small family and is making $50,000, $60,000 a year by working his ass off. And Obama, the drug mule from Afghanistan, is able to sign away trillions of dollars, and everybody in the Congress applauds him. What kind of world is this? This is Twilight Zone City here. We're being irradiated. We're being poisoned by substances thrown into the ocean that we haven't been told the full story on. We've got these chemtrails like Scottish plaid up in the sky doing what? I guess their secret reason is that they're trying to protect us from the sunstorm. But I don't think that's going to work because the result is this. There's mass death coming at us from every angle at this point. And I don't know. The only thing I can do is stay philosophical about the whole stuff and think in my deepest heart of hearts that we're not going to get anything that we don't deserve. We deserve this for not paying attention.
Well, there have been people that have always been saying what America was, and you know, the reality of the thing has just kind of erupted in the past 10 years to be some monstrous other thing.
And yeah, that's right.
And I think that people, it caught people flat-footed, but they're now realizing that. I mean, they're probably more wise than we give them credit for. I know that governments make this mistake all the time when they could just let things be, let the people in their own simple ways exist without interference from government, because that all it's always the best way. Well, I think that they realize that these are monstrous people. They behave in ways that are monstrous, and that always ends up bad for the monsters. And
I hope it happens, but I'm not too concerned about retribution. I'm really concerned about turning off this system and building a functional one.
Oh, I am too, but you know, we're all just kind of disappointed. Our expectations have been purposely lowered, like you said, after all this, all the lies and disinfo over so many months and years from the media and so forth. You were saying about how people's thoughts, their definitions of what's going on have always been the ones that our controllers want them to have, you know, that the controllers have always defined things. But I guess I'm kind of taking an issue with that thought a little bit, John, because I think people kind of come to their own conclusions. I mean, there is a lot of programming, and like never before, Americans have our programmed animals.
There always has been.
Right.
I think about my mother. Back in the early 50s when I was a kid, I mean, she got her news from Collier's Magazine and CBS TV, and I remember the whole thing during the Army-McCarthy hearings. I was probably not even 10 yet, but I remember seeing them on television. And what was presented to us was that Joe McCarthy was this maniac accusing everybody of being a communist, and of course everyone wasn't a communist. And he was laughed out of town, much to the delight of the media, and we were all happy that this crazy American had been defeated and that liberalism had won the day. And lo and behold, that was the first step in the downward spiral to where we are now. And when you look back at Joe McCarthy, all the people he said were communists are now the neocons. So somehow the communists became the neocons, and that's something nobody can fathom, except that you have to understand that the Rothschilds invented both communism and capitalism and used the two systems to war against each other to make money, because that's the purpose of everything, is to create wars to make money. That's what runs the world. And that's what we have to stop, and that is a tall order.
Well, it's not something that a normal human being comes to naturally through the course of having a normal human life. The idea of having to kill people for a living is not a lifestyle that necessarily finds itself within the highest ranks of nobility. But it has. But yet it has. A surprising fact. Somehow it has. And it's inhuman. It's brutish. And this is the Rothschild new system that's coming in. And
oh, no, don't say that. We can't permit this system to come in. If this system comes in, we're finished.
Oh, well, okay. I shouldn't say that, but we do have to recognize not only what it is, you know, but we have to, you know, define it and also give some sense of its nature, so that, you know, we can think of it intellectually as something that we have defined, but we can also feel it, John.
The conditions are that if that system comes in, you lose your freedom of thought, and a number of things that you said tonight would probably be criminalized.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, who knows? I mean, the nature of it, that's why I'm trying to get to a sense of nature of the emotional thing, because we, you know, we're human beings, we're emotional creatures. You know, we want to be able to feel this, and you know, as these things develop, we're starting to get some sense of symbol of how this is, because the Rothschild government is the United Nations. It has a kind of a look and a feel. We know that they aren't necessarily concerned about whether or not America can afford to invade Libya. It's just that
well,
they're giving us permission to go ahead and do it.
All.
I mean, they're setting the stage for us to do it, but whether or not we can afford it, or it's not really their concern. And the people that they have put into positions of power to execute this military enterprise, they're not concerned about it, about its cost either.
No, they never have been. They never will be. That's not their role. Their role is to spend that money. In fact, when Bush came into office, I'm still PO'd about this. When he first came into office, he threw so much money away in rebates, in tax rebates that went on for a couple of years, $300 and $600 per person. You know, that was billions of dollars out the door, and he did that to stimulate the economy. Well, what a carnival huckster thing to do, and the American people went right for it, yeah, because they were so strapped, they needed that $300. But that's idiocy. You put that money into the superstructure, the business structure, so that can be healthier and make more money, but that's not what they were doing. They were destroying the business infrastructure because they were making money by doing it, and now that it's all destroyed, we got nothing left. And we got 300 million people who are, first they're going to be irradiated and made sick, so that will really boost the medical profession. Somehow Obamacare is all tied into that. And we're going to be totally strapped and regimented and working overtime to pay for a debt that we did not incur for generations to come. So this is all untenable. This whole thing has to be stopped. All of those people need to be put in jail for their criminal activities. And you know, the only answer is revolution. And, of course, there's no way to do that physically because they have all the guns. But the only way we can do it is to make sure every person we come in contact with, as many as possible, knows what the deal is, and that the enemy, America, is on the wrong side in every issue throughout the world. They are against people and for the moneyed interests. This has to be completely flipped on its head if we're going to have any hope for any kind of a decent human future.
What this prosecutor has done is she has taken matters that belong in the court of law and taken it to the Jewish snake to be decided there. This is a matter of currency, which I'm saying is consciousness. And she is taking that, she's giving that currency to the court of public opinion, regardless of what was said in court.
Through the media.
Yeah, she's taking it to the media.
Yeah.
And it has no basis in law.
They do that a lot. That was the beginning of the Iraq War, happened that way.
Right, right. So if that's the way they want to be, if that's the way they want to play it, obviously they do. They're going to use the media to invent the law, subvert the law, twist everything out of proportion. And currency is very important to me because I think it will save people's lives. We need to have a medium of exchange. In fact, if we didn't have this alternative currency back in the last depression, it would have been a catastrophe for people.
Right. It was the same with I believe with the Revolutionary War, where they had scrip going around when England shut down their financial system, and it saved them.
I have noticed this pattern as well as everybody else. It seems that the media has no conscience whatsoever, and I can point out that the people have had enough of it. And it's time to have something of a backlash.
Absolutely.
There was the vaccine that was being sold all over the media as the swine flu epidemic was raging about a year and a half ago.
Right.
And people said that they didn't want to be injected. They knew what the truth of the matter was. They knew of the dangers to the vaccine. And regardless of what they said on CNN, NBC, Fox, CBS, regardless of what they heard on NPR, they were not going to be injected because they had access, they had this consciousness that they had developed from who knows where, many sources, the internet probably primarily.
Yes.
It's
the same with the radiation now.
Right. Well, yeah, it is, but it's a little bit different in our case with the radiation.
Well, yeah, this is obstruction of justice too. I mean.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
For her to twist things around in that way and then pound it down the public's throat really is kind of the way America's operated throughout the 20th century anyway, where, you know, it's like before the two world wars, I remember reading polls all over the country said we didn't want to go into either war, and then the Jewish media began this campaign of vilifying the Germans or the Japanese or whoever the target was, and right up until the very end, right up until Pearl Harbor, Franklin Roosevelt was saying we weren't going to war. In World War One, Woodrow Wilson was elected as the peace candidate, and he took us into World War One. Nixon, same thing. Nixon had a plan to end the war. They just decided to make it last the Vietnam War. They just decided to make it last five more years because they hadn't achieved their objective, whatever that was.
Right. Well,
so
the mechanism.
Let me ask you about your idea.
Yes.
Of your idea to effectively combat this kind of, God, what do you want to call it? Malfeasance, for sure, but
treachery,
deception, changing the outcome. Even though the court records say one thing, it's presented as a different, in a different way in the mainstream media that everybody gets. So the information that's communicated out to the public is actually the reverse of what the court said, if I understand it right. She's getting away with, I don't know what you'd call it, perjury to the public.
She is, and I hold the judge responsible too, because he doesn't have the right to not respond in this case. If she is behaving this way, he has the responsibility. I think they call it fiduciary responsibility, John.
Yeah.
He has a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the public record in this case is the correct one. And, he can say that he's maybe busy, or he's at lunch, or he's got to go on vacation or something, but that just won't do.
So what's your basic idea to combat this? What's the nub of it?
Okay, it's very difficult for people to imagine seceding from the Union and having a sovereign nation that we all belong to that can provide for security and the well-being of the people. Even
yes,
though
that's
they,
what we want.
Even though they would like to have it, it's very difficult when the rubber meets the road. It's very difficult. So what I thought I would do is provide an answer for people. Now, part of this, you have to bear with me, because this does go back a year and a half. I'm talking about issues that were current in that time regarding this swine flu and people's major reticence towards taking it. I offered an answer. I said, look, if the government ever forces you to take a vaccination, you can always show them this passport and claim sovereign status, that the United States government has no right to inject me forcibly with a vaccine, no matter what, because I'd rather take my chances, thank you very much.
Really?
So that was the vehicle. And
who is the issuing authority of this?
Well, I'm well known around here. 10 years ago.
What weight is that? Is that going to carry with Homeland Security when they come to stick you with whatever it is they're going to stick you with?
Well, I suppose we will have sharp objects. We'll have sharp objects of our own, of course. We're not going to prevail in court, not with
no, but it would
behavior.
It would be a good thing to have. Since this renegade attorney, this corrupt attorney, can twist things around, if you had a document like that, it just might carry some weight if it had some kind of, what do I want to call it, some kind of quasi-medical approval, some kind of official sanction behind it that would carry some weight. Of course, Are we talking now, or are we talking after the collapse?
I am talking about after the collapse at this point. I'm looking around at the the public, and I just don't see anything other than, perhaps if the government came and tried to forcibly inject people again, if that, the swine flu was something that could come back again, we could face the nightmare all over again, and that in that way I would be using that mechanism. The mechanism I think is really well known though, John. It comes from the Magna Carta, and that is that no government has the right to injure its own people for any reason.
Well,
And
that might be a good thing just to have and acquire, just so that when the moment comes, you have a clear idea of what you have to say to render their actions illegal. And it's like you have to present that argument to them, and whether it would work or not, I don't know, but just to be able to articulate the moral high ground, if enough people had them, it could assist greatly the anti-vaccine movement. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I think that ship has already sailed. I'm not saying that the swine flu scenario is what's going to happen. I'm just more or less just giving you a
Yeah, that's an
history
example,
lesson.
but you know they're going to come up with some new pox here real soon, and I personally think it's going to be related to radiation, because even though, I mean, it's the same principle they're using, it's the same argument you're making can be applied to this radiation thing, where the government is saying there's nothing to worry about, and all these websites are tracking the cesium and the iodine that are floating all over the country.
Well, perhaps preemptively I could, and I don't really think, as ideas go, I don't really think this is a really good one, but it is an idea. That is to let it be known that the citizens of this new state will not allow themselves to be vaccinated or injected in any way as a mitigation from the radiation.
Boy, that's a complex question.
It
It's a
is.
good
It's
idea. It's a good idea, but there are so many treatments now that people are talking about this thing, from kelp to whatever.
I know.
And it's like to try to get a grasp and have a hard and fast rule about that is, geez, I don't know what all the treatments are, so I can't say. But as far as the germ of this idea is something really that every American would like to participate in, because it is a statement that we all believe that our government is not to be trusted when prescribing medicines. Jesus, you only have to look at the spectrum of things that are happening and how many worthless drugs there are out there that have destroyed the American economy with these 6,000% markups, and ruin the lives of millions of infirmed elderly senior citizens who require these medications to stay alive. And how many times have we read the story that old people have to choose between medication and food because they don't have enough money to get both? That's because they're being robbed by these pharmaceutical companies.
Well, yeah, they are something of a mortal threat. And the media is an enabler of this moral th and well, it's a moral catastrophe. And I don't know how easy it is to persuade the average American of this fact. I rather think I'm wasting my time.
I wouldn't be too sure, Zane, because I don't think it would be, at this point, with all of the information that's come out about thimerosal and the mysterious shots we gave our troops before they went to the Gulf War, and just the fact that the military and most of the medical profession won't tell all the won't reveal all the ingredients in the vaccines that they're giving to everybody. They won't do it. They're secret ingredients. So how different? Actually, almost every American I know, even the ones who aren't aware of the more complex things that are going on that we might be, they all know that there's something wrong with the medical profession. And with all of the with all the negative information that has been put out about vaccines, I think this is a movement declaring freedom for the American people, even though it may carry no legal weight. You get this card, it's like you're declaring that you're a free person and you don't trust the government to prescribe medicine that is good for you based upon the government's track record.
Well, there's a lot of medical evidence to suggest that vaccines are not something that people want to participate in.
That's right.
And so this has it's something of a three-pronged approach here, John. The government that mandates it, the medical industry that approves of it and develops it, and the mass media that promotes it. And
you could build a tremendous movement with this, because there are thousands of medical professionals ready to jump on such a bandwagon as this of a declaration of freedom from government medicine, which is proven to be harmful.
Well, this was the idea, and I figured that it would be fairly easy to develop it and put it into a nice form. I can make DVDs about the subject, and now I have my TV show again. I can make a YouTube and put the YouTubes on the TV set and put flyers, handbills around, and really advertise it now more than I ever could before. There's a radio station that's starting a radio interview, or something could be distributed, or I could actually maybe get a show at the radio station that I could maybe air audios from YouTubes or something like that. That's my idea. So
yeah,
the idea is to get enough of a handle on the media that I can provide enough content to keep people entertained and thinking about things, and as a request. It's more than a request, though. I mean, if you want to take part in this, and we can all feel good about being part of a community of people that are not going to be injected by the medical industry or the government or the media, we can have radio and TV, and we can even have public meetings to talk about it and give each other moral support, and part of that is this request that I'm talking about, is that we have got to make it very clear, John, that the mass media are not our friends regarding our health.
Amen.
Not in any way. And now that this radiation thing has happened, I think, you know, our last podcast we talked about this fact that it's really time to move away from the mass media and go towards YouTube for our information.
Definitely.
And
Definitely.
I think that's a very strong idea, and it is something that is, I think, it is becoming more and more conscious. The public is becoming more and more conscious of the reality of that fact that you did.
Yep. You have to keep in mind, however, that YouTube is a Google production, and they're all tied up with the power structure. So there are some limitations. However, that said, all of the important news that I'm seeing now is on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's like there's an unfiltered aspect to it, and if you can pick your way through it, if you get on the right lists, like Dutch Synths is the hottest one now, you keep up with a lot of stuff that you want to know about, and the television doesn't do that for us. The television never has done that for us, and the problem is all these years we thought it was doing that for us, and it wasn't, which is what you're saying about... And this, going back to this attorney again, I don't remember her name, but who twisted, I mean, it was night and day, black and white kind of switch is what she did. That's basically what the mainstream media reports. I mean, when you look at the reportage of the wars, where they, I remember the beginning of this section of the Iraq war, where all journalists had to be embedded with the troops, and so they got the party line, and they were kept away from the bad stuff like Fallujah. And independent journalists were gunned down for years. For the first 3 or 4 years in Iraq, the journalists who tried to go in there and not be embedded were deliberately killed, and of course that was all covered up. So what you say about... people should be dissuaded from paying any attention to the mainstream news because absolutely none of it is true.
And I maybe am a little bit over the top. I actually, as I've developed this passport, and I actually want to tell people in a way that is the strongest way possible, and I can say it right there on the passport. Look, you can lose your citizenship if you watch CNN, CBS, NBC, you know, the list of the mainstream media.
Yeah, the whole thing.
The whole list of them.
It's not could lose it. It's like, you're guaranteed to lose it simply by paying attention to what they say.
Yeah, so that people have to be responsible when they come to a public meeting or they are talking about these matters in public. They have to be responsible to the people that they're telling the information to. That's what it's come to, John. They have certain,
yeah,
responsibilities as a citizen. And if they report information to some other citizen and the other citizen says, well, wait, where did you get that? And the answer comes back, CNN? What?
Well, I must admit I did get some Japanese earthquake information off CNN. It seems like in the early times they were the ones who had the inside track on it, but I haven't looked at CNN for a while now. I tried to promote Russia Today the other day, but somebody jumped on me and said Russia Today is just like the rest of them. It seems like, though, there's been such a clampdown on the legitimate information, and now what they're doing with the radiation. First they had Ann Coulter come out and say a little radiation is good for you, and now we're getting all these stories from pseudo-reputable people saying that like Benjamin Fulford, saying the radiation threat is overstated, and he's in Tokyo and there's no problem. Well, for me, the deciding factor is the New York Academy of Sciences report on Chernobyl of the 20 years after Chernobyl. It attributes 985,000 deaths across the world to the spewage of Chernobyl. And what we have in Japan, while they've just upgraded it to a rating equal to Chernobyl, is at least 10 times greater than Chernobyl, and we can't even calculate what's going to happen.
Right. Well,
but they're not talking about that in the mainstream media. They're being upbeat about it and playing down all those Japanese who've gone in there and signed their death warrants to try to clean the place up. No, I like the idea that you have And I think the probably the strongest point of it is if we could have a little ID card or bumper sticker or something that declared freedom from government medicine because it has proven to be harmful, I think millions of people would want one of those.
Yeah, I think it's a strong idea. One other thing I wanted to mention was this whole thread about taking down YouTube or somehow disconnecting us from the internet. I want people to think about what would happen if the government ever turned the internet off, and I don't think it would be such a bad thing. It wouldn't be as negative, at least, as people think that it might be. We have the ability to communicate and create our own media here independently of the internet. It won't be quite as robust. We won't have an international flavor to it, but we'll have something.
Well, it would be bad because the great thing about the internet is everybody's seeing that people in all the countries are basically the same. And that's a very valuable lesson. You know, when you think about how the world developed through colonial times and the British domination of the less developed parts of the world, it kind of a plantation system developed, but due to the internet and the spread of culture worldwide and all this cross-pollination, it's becoming more and more obvious that people in different parts of the world are basically living the same kind of lives. They have children, they need food, and they need health care. It's the same, and I think if the internet goes down, we're going to be isolated into little pockets again, and we're going to be sitting ducks. I think the only way we can save ourselves at this point is for the whole world to realize that they all want the same thing, and the bankers aren't giving it to us. So it's time to take it away from the bankers, and let's just live our lives honestly instead of trying to make a buck out of screwing people. That's really the nub of it.
Right. Well, hey, John, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for appearing, and we'll look forward to next time.
Thank you, Zane. Always a pleasure.